Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm your host, Sean Benson, and if we get interrupted a little here and there, I might have to take a phone call. Sort of a busy day for me today. I'm heading out to teach my photo course with Peter Andrew at Sheridan College. Just had a killer lunch with my agent. Waffles, chicken. Big shout out to Harlem Restaurant. We both decided that we're getting fat, so we're gonna make this our sort of last big cheat meal. Yeah, right. Post Halloween, babies. Does anyone remember Halloween? What is a cheetah for Halloween? Saw a lot of Jose Bautistas and a surprising number of Jersey Shore type guys. I didn't know that was still a thing. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because last week I just found out that we are in the top 10 of Canadian podcasts. What? You know, I know we're putting it out there. I know that I keep being pleasantly surprised at how many people are actually listening, but that's a real statistic. I don't know if that's through Podomatic or sort of aggregator or iTunes. I honestly don't care. It's progress, baby. Moving the needle in the right direction. So that gives me some juice, guys. I've been talking about the consistency, and it gives me the impetus to stay consistent, you know. I think we all function a little differently. Some people get negative feedback, and then it propels them, like, no, fuck you, I'll prove you wrong. And I think I'm a bit the opposite, you know. I don't know what I like, but I do know that with this podcast, knowing that it's going well makes me more excited to keep going, not lay off. I used to be that way with my buddy Andrew Boyd. So Andrew Boyd is a triathlete of an Ironman caliber. I think he's done 4, and he's competitive in them. I don't think he's placed yet, but he does well. His times are good, and, you know, he's on to his next few whenever. So this guy's, you know, top tier. Back when we were 16, we were very equivalent level athletes. Obviously, we diverged. He doesn't do the karate or the sword, and I don't do the Ironman. However, such a pleasure as a kid running through the woods with him. And if I could, in that last sort of 500-meter sprint we would do, get even a half step ahead, I had all the energy in the world to stay ahead. Whereas if I got that half step behind, I often got defeated. Now, I hope that that's not 100% the way it still goes for me, but that's kind of the, like, you know, a bit of my mental state. So knowing that we're rocking and rolling here makes me feel that half step ahead of the podcast game, whatever that game is. So thank you. You guys are the best. Big shout outs. You know, I'm driving. I wanted to do a verbal shout out. I'll do it next podcast because I screenshotted all the guests I've had. But I don't want to rhyme them out with omitting anybody. But I'm so grateful to all the guests that have come on the show and all you guys that have asked questions and all that kind of thing. Because, you know, it makes it more than just me rambling. It makes it interactive and awesome. You know, I was thinking about, I saw one of these things on Instagram the other day, which said, don't be a victim of circumstances you've created. Boom! That's the howitzer, the howitzer. Don't be a victim of a circumstance you created. Which kind of goes to the serenity prayer, right? Which is, you know, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. And then the kicker is the wisdom to know the difference. And I think that's fundamental to that idea because we're often victims of circumstances we created without realizing we created them. And therein lies the problem, is not accepting responsibility for how our life is going, good or bad, and then, you know, good too, by the way. You know, I've had this wonderful fall of work, both the acting class, teaching the photos, taking some cool photos that I'm really proud of, also for clients, and shooting, you know, a number of different projects. I can take responsibility for a lot of the goodness there. Now, it isn't what it used to be for me as a kid, which is, if you don't get the job, they're fucking idiots, and if you do, you're so talented. It's a lot more whatever than that, you know. But I show up, I suit up, I eat well, I make sure I am not a dick, or as little a dick as possible, and then the flow kind of keeps flowing. So for those things within my control, i.e. the things I have the wisdom to change, so I had the wisdom says, hey, showing up on time, that's within your power. Great, so you can no longer blame the world for being late. Yeah, there's traffic. We also have about 7 mapping applications. So now it's one thing, again, I always talk about this, like sometimes you can't leave the meeting till 5 and the place you have to get to is an hour 20 away with traffic, and if the meeting starts at 6 the next one, that's just called life. That's called triage. You got to figure out, do I leave the one early or do I show up to the other late? That's the Kobayashi Maru. You won't always win the day. But it's not traffic's fault if your meeting finished at 4, you leave at 5, get there at 6:20. And I'm not talking about the one time the accident happens a kilometer ahead of you, no emergency vehicles on scene, and Google Maps couldn't anticipate it. But knowing that happens, you still shouldn't leave at 4 if there's even a possibility, or at 5 if it's going to be 6:20. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying with this is, there are those things that we can absolutely throw a bit of control into. And in my experience, they're the small things. You know, I didn't get a part that I really wanted. I just found out this morning I was quote-unquote second choice. Who knows if that's even a real thing? Maybe it is. Maybe me and the other guy's headshot was on a board and they went, ah, let's go with him. It's very realistic that that happened. I was bummed. I was bummed because it would have paid me some money, and I was bummed because I would have got to go do some great work, I think. It's another one that comes and goes. It's called my career. Now, what I can't control is getting the job. Can't do it. Can't even think about doing it. What I can control is, A, that I even choose to be an actor. So, by the way, even my choice to not be a victim of circumstances I created literally goes back to, well, you could always not be an actor. Now, when I say these kinds of things to other people who bring it up, they're like, well, don't be a fucking dick. And it's like, I'm not. You don't have to date the girl. You don't have to work that job. You don't, like, if you have a kid, you have to provide for them. And that's probably about all you have to do. Otherwise, you're really an awful human. Beyond that, how you provide for them, that's a circumstance you're creating. What you believe their base needs should be above food, shelter, and love, that might be, I don't know. Again, don't have kids, so I shouldn't go on too much about that. But you know what I'm saying. So if I want to, if I get pissed that I can't buy the new rims for my Porsche or fund the pilot season in LA the way I thought I was gonna or put the down payment on the house, hey, I chose to be an actor. So that fundamental choice. And by the way, I think that goes to relationships a lot. I've talked about this a lot, where our picker can often be the thing that is making the bad relationship happen, but then we focus on the minutiae. Oh, she gets mad when I blah, 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 or I get mad when she blah, 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 or if only blah, blah, blah. It's like, you picked the wrong girl. You've actually picked the wrong guy. Your picker is picking someone from your damaged side or a well-intentioned but not the full information healthy side. And, you know, you might have gone so far down the road that you don't feel like you can exit, but you can. I can leave acting today. If not getting the part makes me feel so awful, which today it doesn't, by the way, which some days it does. Often it does. But not today. The weather's too nice. I got the car, and I just had waffles and chicken, for those of you tuning in late. How can you have a bad day unless you're a vegan having waffles and chicken? That just sets the day off right. I want to jump right in. So don't be a victim of circumstances you created. Keep backing up. Keep backing up. If you hit a point where you think, okay, but at that point, try backing up one step further. What if I don't choose blah, blah, blah? And even if that seems crazy, because to me it seems crazy to choose not to be an actor, but there could be a real healthy exploration. You could go back to school. You could be a school teacher. You could be, you could go back to university and become, fulfill the science thing. You don't have to assume there's no options. And if you shrug and go, well, that's just stupid, you might not be capable of the type of brainstorming. So practice it. because we're not capable of anything until we practice it. I just joined yoga. I plan to do this a couple days a week. I need something low impact. I'm doing the intro session up in the Junction, and it's nice. And I'm not real good at it. I'm not brutal at it. I mean, through my karate, I have a focus and a peace of mind through difficult physical stuff. But it is new physical stuff, and it is hard and draining for me, even the beginner classes. And I'm okay with that, because the whole point of doing beginner classes is to learn how to do yoga. I didn't start karate at a fourth degree black belt level, and I sure as hell am not going to start yoga above a beginner level, because I'm a beginner at yoga. And what I mean there is, like, the willingness to suck at something new, I think, is fundamental to ultimately creating circumstances that aren't habitually recreative of issues. I.e., I could go try and do yoga like a champ, I could probably hurt my hip again. Yoga's not a fix-all. I believe it's going to move me in the right direction, but it'd be real easy to go ego first into any endeavor. So then I'm going, well, fucking even yoga won't work. It's like, yep, still a victim of circumstances you're creating. Okay, well, what if it has nothing to do with the physical thing I'm doing? Hey-o. Now we're on to something. Hannah Anderson. Guys, Hannah Anderson, she was a guest on our show. When she was a guest, she had not yet done the very thing that I'm about to now say, are you kidding me, this woman? The campaign they've done for Comeback, her short movie, I don't understand what's going on with Viral, because it's doing well. They've raised a nice amount of money. But this thing should be on, like, Vice and BuzzFeed and every... The videos that her and Matt Edison and whoever else I don't know is involved, I mean, for a fucking $25 donation, you can dare them to, like, write a rap about, you know, you working as a professor. They're not just gonna fucking YouTube, like, iPhone it and go, they're literally gonna produce a video. Because of two reasons. One, they're not doing this for the result, it seems. I don't know. I haven't asked Hannah about this. But you can't do what they're doing for this campaign without loving being a performing artist. So the reward will come in terms of the money donated. But I would contend that if I'd ask her or Matt, the real reward is what they've been able to do together with these things. They're amazing. They're so amazing. Look up Comeback, the short film. Look at her videos. Look at the dares that she's doing. And then ask yourself, am I dedicating myself this much to the 10 grand I need? Or am I sitting around hoping it comes? Because this is someone who's earned every penny of that. Bravo. Hannah Anderson had a question. And I'm paraphrasing Hannah because I'm driving. But the question is, you know, as an actor, you're always asked, what are you working on next? Do you like or hate the question? And how do you balance it, given that, you know, on one hand, we're trying to live in the now, especially when you're performing and the camera is rolling or you're on stage, but you also have to plan for a future. Hey guys, I'm back. I just totally did an edit there, which I don't like to do normally, because it's important to me that you guys know that we're doing this fluidly and that my thoughts aren't that important, so why edit them? But I got a phone call and had a coughing fit, and I figured, why bother? And then I had to go teach, so I'm picking up hours later. But Hannah, I love your question. Look, I love your question. That question, do I love it or hate it? Honestly, my response isn't to the question, it's to how it's being asked. You know, we all know the people who are kind of like, what are you working on next? And they're sort of fishing. Maybe we auditioned against them and they want to see if we got the role. Maybe, you know, they don't tend to be well-wishers in our life, so they wouldn't mind a bit of schadenfreude because they're hoping you say nothing. I don't know. Like with all the stuff and even the acting work that we did together, like the, I'm responding to the person and not what they're saying, but how they're saying it. For me, Hannah, I have two answers, and it really comes down to kind of what everything in my life comes down to, which is the answer I want to give you, because it's the right answer, is it's all about faith. Because when I'm in faith, I trust I'm going to work again, and I don't have to know exactly what that gig is while, let's say, winding up another gig. So then the question obviously doesn't bother me. You know, it's like, who cares what someone's asking? And I won't read into how they're asking because I'm in faith, which is kind of like anything. When I'm feeling faith in a day, I don't start going, why are you asking? You know, if I come downstairs and I'm feeling very faithful, and you go, oh, you're wearing that shirt out tonight, my answer is, yep. Whereas if I'm in fear, which is the other answer, then when I come down and you're like, oh, you're wearing that shirt tonight, I go, what's wrong with it? And so when people ask me, what are you working on next? If I'm in faith, I just go, I'm not sure. And then if I'm in fear, I do one of two things. Well, A, I hate the question when I'm in fear because it gets at my fear that I'm never going to work again. And basically, I have that fear half the time. And then I will feel dug at. So then I'm going to get my back up. And then I'm going to do one of two things, which is either try and be the people pleaser with my answer. And again, depending on who's asking, I may create almost a false humility. Oh, I don't know. You know, this business is so tough. And then that's inauthentic. Or I'm going to puff myself up. You know, I'm up for this thing right now. And, you know, we'll see if it goes my way. Which is maybe true, but still a bit inauthentic. And my point, I guess, is that I'm always inauthentic when I'm in fear. I'm never inauthentic when I'm in faith. So if I'm in faith and someone's like, what are you working on? And they haven't worked in a year. And I go, oh, I'm flying off to Greece to shoot a film. I don't need to worry about how they feel because my faith extends to them. So, you know, I guess what I'm really getting at is it has nothing to do with the question. It, like anything else, has to do with my spiritual condition on any given day. I can be in fear, in which case, you know, where you suggest eating for lunch is going to be an issue for me. Or I can be in faith, in which case, not knowing my next job or where the money's going to come from to pay rent in 3 months is an act of faith. And then you and I know, Hannah, look at what you're doing for your campaign. Like, you're a worker, right? You're not going to sit around and then, kind of what we started with this podcast, you're not going to be a victim of circumstances you created. So you're not going to realize that in 3 months you need rent and then do nothing for the next 3 months and then bitch about rent and how acting doesn't treat you well. So you're going to do faith in action even if you feel afraid, the same way I do, the same way Matt and Emily do. Like, you know, there's an updraft we like to create for each other, it seems, and obviously you're part of that sort of thing. But in terms of the balance, I like the second part of this, between living in the moment and not living in the moment, you know, planning for the future. That's one where telling another individual what my next job is has very little to do with me living in the moment or not. Again, it's about how I want to be perceived, because who cares what I'm working on next, other than how I feel about it. And so planning for my future versus being in the moment, or, you know, knowing what my future will be. First off, Hannah, I'll have a different answer because I've probably acted professionally maybe easily over 1,000 days. So I probably have a little more faith than you do that if I don't work for 4 months, I'm still an actor. Maybe not. Maybe you're really grounded that way. But I know my next gig's coming. I really do. I don't know what it's going to be. By the way, I don't have a job right now, Hannah. I don't know what my next acting job is, period. I have zero acting jobs on the horizon. And what's interesting is that I've just chosen not to teach come January, my next acting session. I'm in fact going to take a break until next summer. So instead of going toward the comfort of the money and the sort of position that provides, I actually need to move away from it this time. Your mileage may vary, and my mileage a different year might vary, but I need to hang myself out there a little more. In fact, I need to put myself more on a faith plane and less on a fear plane. Not that teaching comes from fear, but maybe the ego boost of being in front of a class, maybe the money I get from it, while obviously smart, I don't need it in January necessarily, so I'm going to put it out there a little more. So I'm actually going to put my faith on the line a bit more, challenge myself a bit more to just be an actor in the unknown. I hope that answers your question in any way, but we're artists, Hannah. We don't always know what's coming, and we don't always know how we're going to do with it once it comes. And I love that. And I love that you already have your own answer, which is, I guarantee if you don't know what you're doing in 3 months, you're going to create it. You might not want to. You might be just like me, and you're like, I want someone to fucking hire me, and I never want to have to produce anything again. Show me where to go. Or as they say in The Dresser, what's the play and where's the stage? Let me just be befuddled all the rest of the time. My life hasn't worked out that way. I've had to be a self-starter to do the kind of work I want to do. And then, you know, even this podcast, right, guys? Like, sometimes I'm frustrated that I put all this time and energy. And even today or last week, I can be like, look, man, my fucking podcast is top 10. The film I direct is going to sell globally. The play I direct wins awards. The film I shoot, the last film I shoot a lead in, the producers want to nominate me for a Gemini or a CSA. Whether that happens or not, who knows? But it seems like everything I do goes well. Why aren't I more successful? I don't know the answer to that. Obviously, I'm doing fine, but without getting specific, I still have to work so fucking hard just to get above base living expenses. And if you guffaw at that because I have excess motor vehicles, that's fine. I don't care. You can guffaw all you want. I don't mean base like off the street. I mean base like I can't comfortably buy a house in Toronto as a 40-year-old man who's extremely well respected and doing great in his country in his chosen industry. School teachers living in most cities in this country can buy a house comfortably, or and they know what they're earning the next year. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that I have to be a self-starter to even get halfway towards where I want to be, because my supposed success in this industry, some years pays out, some years it doesn't. And we all know those series leads are kind of where it's at financially, but then maybe not artistically, blah, blah, blah. And to someone who's not necessarily an actor or an artist listening, this really is engrossing. It's just a fact of living job to job. I, Hannah, may never act again for all my faith. You can have all the faith you want, and we might be decapitated by ISIS tomorrow, but I can't live fearing that. So I'm making plans based on the assumption of what I'm probably gonna earn next year. And then, in fact, any updraft is a bonus. So a lot of my faith actually comes from living prudently based on where I'm at, not imprudently based on where I wish I was at. That doesn't mean not behaving in a manner befitting an A-list actor, but not spending money as though I'm an A-list actor, or buying the house believing the money will come after. I know some people can secret out that vision. I sure can't. It's never worked for me. So in a weird way, simple prudence grows my faith. And I think I've talked about this before, where the more my faith grows, or in fact, it's the other way, the smaller the steps I take toward my faith, opening my mail, doing my dishes, cleaning my sheets, feeding my cats, the bigger cool shit comes my way. And I used to sit around and do none of the above and wonder why the big shit didn't come. Well, why would it come? Because my self-esteem is low. My sense of self is low. And you and I talk about that. How to fill in the gaps. I'm teaching at Sheridan. I'm driving home from that right now. That's an esteemable act. The money showing up in my bank account is an esteemable act. My teacher's card to swipe myself in the door is an esteemable act. And where my ego, my art, and my lack of ego live is where I choose, let's say, not to teach next winter, anything. Partly because I might go to LA, so I can't commit to the photos. Partly because I might go to LA, but it's also by not teaching, the idea to LA to go there floods in. And then instead of why not comes in. Because if I want to go, then there's a why would you? But it's like, no, why not? Okay, money. I got that covered. You don't have a big job to give you heat. That's okay. I'm confident. I feel good. The career's rolling. This is a thought process that goes on in my head, and it'll keep going until I decide to or not to go to LA. And a lot of that is still an answer to your question, which is faith. Now, today I'm feeling good. And by the way, surprisingly, my day started with the email going, they went with the other guy. By the way, if you think I'm joking, that's literally the email. It was between you and the other guy, they went with the other guy. And for this particular network, I think this is the 8th time in a row that I've got that exact email. Weird that I'm in faith today. But the one thing that has been proven to me day in, day out is that I can have the girl, have the job, have the money, and be in fear. I can be broke, I cannot have the girl, and I cannot have worked in years, and I can be in faith. It's independent of people, places, and things. It has to do with like a simplicity of trust that I'm enough. And I don't know, man, that to me does go to that idea of not being a victim of circumstances I created. So esteemably getting myself out of routines that have nothing to do with acting. And then, you know, I think for me, the other one really just comes down to the one thing I posted the other day on Twitter and Instagram, which got a lot of love. If enough isn't, more won't be. So I'll say that again, because I've been working on this one for a long time. If enough isn't, more won't be. Now look, I want to go to set almost every professional working day possible. But if enough, i.e. good career, enough pay to get through the days, that is enough. So if that freaks me out, or if the little pause between job A and B freaks me out, that means enough isn't. And one thing I know from my fucking journeys to the top of the mountain and to the depths of hell is that if enough isn't, more won't be. If the good job and the loving life isn't enough, 10 times the pay won't all of a sudden make me happy. It just won't. So if enough isn't, more won't be. If working and the potential for all the future work and being healthy and having a loving partner and living with a roof over my head and pretty good groceries in the fridge, if that's not enough, I mean, God, I could be driving this damn Porsche frustrated that I can't buy the other Porsche I just saw online. I've talked about this too much. Hey, guess what? If I'm feeling that way, the new Porsche ain't gonna make me happy for more than the process of buying it. Because the process of buying it becomes about hope. It becomes about the potential of who I'll be when I get that. But if driving this one ain't enough, driving that one is only potential. There will be no realized fulfillment there. So I'll throw that out too, you know. What will that job make you feel like? Well, you can feel that way right now. How will you feel when you're looking at that person on the current set when you go, oh yeah, no, I'm heading to Sudbury to shoot an MOW next week. So you feel relaxed, you feel like worthy. Well, you're allowed to feel that way today without the job. And with that same sense of relaxation and worthiness, you can say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure is a beautiful answer. It's a valid answer. And it in no way takes away our worth, our value, our ability to love and be loved. And then I'll jump right into that. To love more than be loved. So I won't get this St. Francis prayer right. But it's like, dear Creator, you know, fucking make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is darkness, light, despair, hope. Where there is fucking whatever, illness, health. Where there is sorrow, joy. And where there's doubt, faith. Grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console. Grant that I may not seek so much to be understood as to understand, and grant that I may not seek so much to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it's in pardoning that we're pardoned, and it's in dying that we're born to the eternal light. So I'm a big fan of this. You don't have to be religious to dig this, man. It's so beautiful because in seeking the need to have these full weeks, I should go offer full weeks. I should go return the call of the person who needs my advice or my help moving or my help teaching a class or even the plant in my house that needs more tending than I can tend when I'm on set. So now I'm giving more than trying to get. I'm making more than I'm trying to take. And I'll now find the faith through action and fulfillment. I think my experience bears this out. When I try and give more than I try and get, I end up getting a bunch of shit anyways. And it's actually fulfilling because I don't place my worth in it. My worth is not, it comes partly from my stuff as an actor. Who's kidding who? You want to be an MMA fighter, but you never win a fight? It's going to be hard to feel good as an MMA fighter. So you want to be an actor, but you're not booking work? That's fucking hard, and I can relate because I've been there, I am there, I was there this morning. But my self-worth today, by the grace of God, to whom I hope to give my day, by offering that consoling not to be consoled, by offering the love not to be loved, right? So this prayer, whether you're religious or not, it isn't just, it's a way to find God, right? It's a way to find light. It's a way to find fulfillment. You can use God religiously or non-religiously, but I can't actually answer this question without invoking that word, because it's not just a way to talk to God, it's a pathway. So where there's darkness, let me fucking turn on my light. Great, I'm now making my way towards the light. Where there's hatred, let me be loving. Not just get angry, not just hate back, blah, blah, blah. I could go through the whole thing. So that's my little way that in working this shit, the question of what I'm doing next might not be as important as it was for me a month ago, a year ago. And one of the nicest compliments Emily's ever paid me is to say, wow, hon, this year you seem less defined to yourself by your own work. And I did get there through trying to offer something, not just professional, that maybe can help. Or if not help, not hurt. You know, not be shitty, if not glorious that day. So, Hannah, that's a real long answer to one of my favorite questions I've ever been asked about this whole process. The short, glib answer is, who gives a shit what you're doing next? All we got's now. You know, what are you doing now? Fuck, what am I doing now? Tops off the car, got a toque on, got the headphones on doing a podcast. Feel like I'm talking to you, Hannah, who's so fucking rad. I can't believe I get to count you as a friend. It's one of the benefits of, you know, crossing my fear barrier and asking people I like and respect and want to get to know to be part of this world of podcast, and then you respond back and now we're interacting. It's cool as fuck, man. Feels a lot better than a like on a Facebook page to me. It really does. Not that I don't like that stuff. This girl just did this, right? This 18-year-old girl just blew up her own social media image by basically going back to Instagram. She has 500,000 followers, and she was being paid to wear dresses. She was using like 30 layers of retouching to make her photos look good on Instagram. She'd post a photo, and then what she did in the last week is would go back and edit the comment she would make. So instead of saying chilling at the beach with my friends, getting 20,000 likes, and then using that to go get a free product and further what for her was a cycle, she basically went back and said, took 100 shots to get this, would have starved myself that day just to look skinny, wore a push-up top, nothing about this photo was casual, and hated myself at the party afterwards. God bless this girl, man. You don't have to fucking agree with her. A lot of people, because, hey, there can't be anything without fucking backlash, right? So a lot of people are like, oh, poor little girl getting paid a ton of money to fucking model and be given free shit. That's not her point. That's not her point. You know, her point is young people who look up to her, or anybody who's looking up to her, should know, i.e. be media savvy, that not one photo she's posting is actually what was happening, i.e. being presented. And that's the thing I always say is, like, I'm all for fucking sex in movies. I'm all for violence in movies. Just be savvy. You know, I'm all for a product placement. I just want my kids, when I have them, I'll be talking to them and I'll be like, yeah, that's nudity. A, beautiful nudity, or pardon me, nudity is a beautiful thing. It's human, it's lovely. You're also being titillated, so you buy the film with it. Take it for what it is. You know, whatever. I don't know, we'll see. Ask me when I have kids, I'll probably have locks on everything and fucking shotguns by the door for all their shitty boyfriends, for my teenage girlfriends. As if, of course I won't. But you know what I'm saying, is I really dig what this girl did, and I really dig how she pulled the covers, not on anybody else's, you know. When that comedian or supposed comedian Nicole Arbour did that bit on Instagram hoes or whatever, it was so, you know, I didn't like it at all. And I know this seems revisionist, but she wasn't clever, funny. She was sort of angry and then was doing the same things by being in a bra for that whole thing that people, that she was complaining about people doing. So it was just very thin. And then when she came out with the ridiculous fucking video insulting fat people, well, the cover got pulled on her actual psyche. That was more than just a mistake. You know, that's an ill-conceived brand of humor, you know, from someone who's not real funny and missed the mark on that. And look, I get it. She told a bad joke. I tell bad jokes all the time. I just thought a lot of the other jokes were bad. But my point is, she didn't do what this girl did, because she was going, you're a hoe, you're fake, while being fake. Versus what I like what this 18-year-old girl did is she said, I was doing this. I was doing this. This is what I did that day. And you know, I'm a big fan of speaking from your own experience. When I describe things that happen in my life to you, or the way I perceive growing up in my household, it doesn't mean I'm right, but it means I'm describing my experience as I perceived it. So you can't, you can like it or not, but I'm not being a fucking bitch or cunt or jerk. It's what I perceived and what I think. And that's what I like about this girl. She's speaking from her own experience, how she felt trapped. Nobody was trapping her. She felt trapped. Good on her, man. I don't have Instagram on my phone right now. You know, I ebb and flow with this. And again, it always just comes down to how many goddamn minutes a day I scroll through these feeds. You know? Ugh. I'd rather go take photos, which I've been doing a lot more of lately, than looking at other people's photos. And I'd rather drive my car than look at photos of the car. It's a tough one. And by the way, I'd rather sit bored. You know, I deleted it a couple days ago on set because I was sitting there with cool other actors in this green room, but then I'd just scroll through my phone. Wah, wah, wah. I'd soft cock my way through the potential for interaction, or by the way, just a nap or just a book. It felt for me like a bit of an avoidance of real life. I'm sure I'll load the damn thing up again in a month. You know, it's not a, it's, he's just not ready. We're not saying not now for Instagram. We're just saying not, wait a minute. Oh, we're not saying never, we're just saying not now. I don't have Facebook on the phone either. I have the Messenger, whatever. It's my ebb and flow. I'll probably do this dance till I die with some form of social media, because I still just wish it was the fucking 80s and I could just meet you on the corner or not care about you. And Hannah, that's another one, eh? Going back to that. The fucking drain of social media in terms of, man, there's nothing I love more than Facebook and Instagram when I'm shooting a show. But there's nothing I hate more when I'm not, because all these people are posting glorious selfies of them shooting, or their humble brags about the part they booked, or, and guilty as charged, am I? Whatever I am, I just am. I am. I promote myself all the time, and so be it. But that is why I have to sometimes look. I'm not going to stand in a room with someone who's making me feel bad. I'm either going to ask them to stop, or I'm going to leave the room. You know, they're both valid. So, well, I'm not going to be on Facebook while feeling insecure and then go, hey, can you please stop posting about the job you're happy you booked? So I either have to unfollow or maybe just get off the damn thing for a while. I know you're asking more about someone specifically, but I think there is a pressure, and I don't think it's a healthy pressure, to, you know, sort of get real amped up about work. And it's fucking constant, and especially depending on how I'm doing a thing these days where I meditate first thing in the morning and meditate last thing at night. Not every day, but I'm really moving toward every day. And I say that genuinely, like I'm, you know, I'm getting there. And so I don't want the last thing I look at to be an Instagram feed or a Facebook feed, and I don't want it to be the first thing I look at. And I don't even really have my phone on, like I'm trying to turn it off at 9 p.m. And it's a way to just live my own life a little. And then again, it doesn't matter as much what I'm doing next, or I'll probably just create what I'm doing next. You know, and my friend Elise Bauman just asked me about a potential theater thing. And again, outside of the realm of anything, the thought of doing a play with her is fantastic. So I get to, plus it's not a specific contract offer, it's down the road. So I get to just go, oh, I'd love to do that and mean it, instead of going, what will that mean for my career? What will that mean for Facebook posting? What will that mean for, you know, whatever? So I contend that by tuning out a little, I'm actually tuning in. And then in that tuning in, I'll end up actually knowing what my next job is. Even if it's developing something, you know. And by the way, Hannah, I'm going to wind down this podcast, by the way, you guys. I'm home now and I'm going to tuck in. But I really just wanted to tune in and say thank you for going top 10 with this. Please share it. Please keep listening. We're going to have some guests in over the next week or two. Katie Boland, Hannah Cheeseman. And then also, Hannah, that thing is, I'm developing a film right now. So when someone's like, what are you working on next? Technically nothing, but no, I'm creating a film. So it may not happen right away, but it's happening. And that's something that is valid too, is this work we create for ourselves. It doesn't, look, my first part was a lead on a series, on TV, I mean. So the idea that all of a sudden I'm being driven to set, I'm being paid a fair amount of day, I'm on billboards, woo! So the idea that I'm creating my own film almost seems loserish in comparison. But it's in fact the opposite. It's fucking baller shit. And I know you got that in ya. I am happily scattered today, my friends. I've had too much caffeine and I'm having too much fun today. We're going to sit down in the studio and get a little clearer with some ideas for the next podcast. But I don't know, man. I've been playing in a new band. The old band's got some potential. Emmy Rouge. By the way, go check out Emmy Rouge, the Crescent Demos on iTunes. Go check out Analog Smith, the Light of Day EP. We're going to have some new stuff coming up with a new band. And the new film's being developed. Barn Wedding's going to be doing a deal that I can announce shortly. So if I seem a little scattered, I am. I am. And happily so. And but I do want to commit to you guys a bit more because you've committed to me. So we're going to simmer down and do a little more studio stuff. So that the podcast don't seem like a cop-out. I know they don't, but if I do too many in a row, I feel like I'm copping out. And I want to sit down in the studio, make the coffee, and really commit to doing something killer with you guys before we get the next guests in. Love y'all. This is Chatting Between Takes, and I look forward to the next one. That's a wrap.